In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go
20 minutes
to the
after
lobby.
5 o'clock. Yes, it's time Let's to pass the popcorn. The brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge in studio with us. Happy Monday, Al.
Well, happy Monday to you as well.
How'd your weekend go?
It was pretty good. I spent the vast majority of it lurking around the backstage area of the Bangor Opera House. It was tech weekend for Ugly Lies the Bone. So
you guys open this week?
Yeah, we sure do.
Good Lord.
Yeah, Pay What You Will is Wednesday night. So if you want to, if you're looking to get out in the weather and see what's frankly shaping up to be one hell of a show, come on out, see our final dress rehearsal, see what we got. But previews Thursday, Friday, and then opening is on Saturday.
You know, today's the day with March Madness taking place. Downtown Madness opens today. You get to just sit back and relax as one of those people who are seated and gets a first round bye.
Well, I have to admit, I saw you've been talking about it for a little bit. I have refrained from inserting myself into that conversation. It doesn't feel right to try to tempt the judges in any sort of way. So I'm very curious as to where the committee has placed me.
You're a two.
Wow. Yeah. No, I'll take that.
Are you kidding me? Bill Green's the number one seed. You are the two after your strong run last year, and you will take on the winner of the Jerry Monteux versus Jabron Graham first round matchup.
Oh, okay. Okay. I feel pretty good about that, I think. I'm not sure. I feel like
I think you're in good shape.
There's upset potential there, but there should be upset potential in all of them.
Well, absolutely. Man, yeah, you're the two. That was a tough bracket. The top four in Maine. Bill Green's a one. You're two. Mighty John Marshall, who went deep in last.
Oh yeah, he went crazy deep.
He's number three with no social media presence at all. And then Mike Lowe, the Portland Press Herald, is four. Who else got buys? Pat Callahan, the five. Tim Throckmorton. Dan Hannigan, Danny Cashman is an eighth seed. Don Shields, Bob Lucy, former winner. John Alba, Jessica Gagne, Mark Kalman, who had a nice run last year. My favorite matchup in the opening round, is it tomorrow we do Maine or is that Wednesday?
Wednesday is Maine.
Oh, good, because they can talk it up tomorrow. Bob Cutler versus Eric Meehan.
Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah, neighbors going at it.
Yep, that's just right. That is just right.
Nothing is absolutely set in stone. If you want them to fight it out tomorrow during the show, we can move Maine up.
Well, I know. Let's do that if we could. That'll be fun because then we can have a street fight right here in the studio. And it might also.
So shall it be done.
It could also inspire a dangerous move by somebody if the weather's really bad tomorrow afternoon. You think either one of them is going to stay home if they've got the opportunity to come in and talk smack about the other?
No, we encourage that.
I mean, there were some texts and messages going back, but I believe Eric's message to Bob was, yeah, I've been there before. There you go. All right, let's talk movies. You got to see a movie in the midst of your tech weekend.
I got to see two movies.
Get out.
It's been a while since I did one of these. I did a Friday double feature before tech on Friday evening. So, I went in and saw a couple back-to-back.
That's how you earn a number two seed right there.
That's right. I'm committed to the job for sure.
Well, tell us all about it.
We'll start with the big one, the big new release from the weekend. I went to see A Wrinkle in Time, adapted from the 1962 novel by Madeleine L'Engle, a book that I actually loved when I was younger. I wasn't as enamored of the sequels. I think there were four in total, but I loved that first book when I first discovered it. And it's one of those things. It's a book that is really kind of, it's a wonderful sort of example of both the positives and negatives that come with Hollywood's current fascination with bringing beloved intellectual properties to the big screen, because, you know, this book was written 50 years ago. It was not designed to be a movie like right. so many are now. And especially a book like this, which leans so heavily on, relies so much on the reader's imagination to not necessarily fill in the gaps, but to just sort of, you know, color the margins, I think, of the story. It's weird to think about that being something that is going to be rendered cinematically. And all that leaves aside the tremendous cultural impact of the film, because Ava DuVernay is the director, thus becoming the very first woman of color to direct a film with a 9-figure budget. Like that's I mean that it's significant both in terms of the culture and in terms of the story being told. And I gotta say, like, I'll be the first to admit, I maybe wanted it to be a little better, just in terms of the storytelling. The narrative aspect of it was a little disjointed. That being said, the it looked fantastic, and the message, the inherent message to it of self-actualization, of empowerment for young people is very present. And that's, I think that's probably the most important part, both of the book and of this this rendering of it.
And it's got President Winfrey in it.
Man, I tell you what, the first time giant space Oprah shows up, you're like, okay, now this is a movie. But yeah, it's the story of a young girl named Meg Murray, played by Storm Reid, who she's a brilliant teenager, but she's troubled. Her dad, a scientist played by Chris Pine, mysteriously disappeared 4 years ago. No one knows where he went or what happened to him. She's got a younger brother, a younger adopted brother by the name of Charles Wallace. And they basically live at home with their mom and, you know, just basically miss their dad. And then one day, a mysterious stranger named Mrs. What's-It, played by Reese Witherspoon, shows up apparently at the behest of Charles Wallace to tell them that they're going to basically track down her dad, who is still alive, but has somehow made his way across the universe and is now in some sort of trouble. So Mrs. What's-It enlists her friends, Mrs. Who, played by Mindy Kaling, whose wisdom is espoused solely through properly attributed quotations. And then Mrs. Witch, the aforementioned giant space Oprah. And then this is the kids are basically the two kids, along with Meg's classmate, Calvin, played by a young man named Levi Miller, who's very good. And they're basically whisked across the universe on an adventure trying to retrace the steps taken by their dad, who has apparently mastered the ability to tesser. He's discovered something called a tesseract, which basically allows you to fold space-time and travel vast interstellar distances in the blink of an eye. And yeah, and so they go off looking for him, all the while trying to avoid the looming specter of the sinister creature known only as the It, sort of the embodiment of shadow and darkness. But as you might imagine, their voyage quickly grabs the attention of said It, and they're left trying to figure out how to not only rescue their father, but to find a way to get back home at all. Like I said, it's beautiful to look at. The visuals are great. I think part of the issue is sort of almost feeling of being beholden to the larger set pieces, the CGI stuff. And I get why that would happen. Like, I feel like that, especially in something that's sort of got that sort of speculative sci-fi fantasy bent, like you need that stuff. I think, you know, I wish maybe the filmmakers had felt a little more freedom to spend more time just in terms of the storytelling. That said, the performances are great. The kids are fantastic. I feel like we're really in sort of a renaissance of young actors in a lot of ways. I feel like it's been a long time since I've seen a kid on screen with the general sort of weird wooden hamminess that you used to get a lot with child actors. So that's pretty great. Reese Witherspoon's great. Mindy Kaling's great. Oprah's great. There are some great supporting turns. Zach Galifianakis shows up for a couple of scenes. He's great. Michael Pena is in this as well. He's really good. But again, it just comes back to this idea of, you know, a movie. the idea of a movie made by a woman of color, featuring a central protagonist who is also a young lady of color, like, and for that to receive such a huge budget, such a big marketing push, like all of that, it's just, I feel like it's indicative of a potential sea change going forward in terms of what sorts of movies Hollywood is making. Like I saw a thing today, Black Panther and A Wrinkle in Time were the 1 and 2 movies at the box office this weekend. Like that's important. And I know people, there are people who will dismiss the relevance of pop culture as far as what it matters to society at large. I'm here to tell you, it does, like something like this, it does matter. It very much matters. And and A Wrinkle in Time, it may have its flaws, but I got to tell you, like it's pretty good. And I had a really good time.
Excellent. And what's the other movie you saw this weekend in your double feature bonanza?
Have you heard of this movie, The Hurricane Heist?
Now I have. Now
I have. I saw a trailer for this movie, maybe 3 weeks ago. And I couldn't tell if it was real. Like it was one of those things, like it was like just this huge windstorm and like all this stuff is happening. The song Rock You Like a Hurricane is being played unironically. Like it's like, is this real? Is this real life? And it turns out it is. And it's delightful. Like this is a bad movie, like a legitimately bad movie. Like, but it's bad in all the best ways.
Oh, I like those.
Like, well, I'll give you a quick scenario. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Do sharks fly through?
There are no sharks.
Okay, good.
But you do have a, your heroes are basically a disgraced treasury agent, a retired military man turned small business, small engine repair guy, and an elite meteorologist.
Who knew there was such a thing?
And the small engine repair guy and the elite meteorologist are brothers who have really strong feelings about hurricanes because a hurricane killed their father. This is all real that I'm telling you.
I'm in already.
And they're the ones who have to stop a crack team of like 30 people. Like, I don't know like where these 30 people come from, but they descend on this tiny town. It's called New Hope, Alabama. It's on the Gulf Coast. And it also happens to play home to a facility for the U.S. Mint, which is it happens to be one of the clearinghouses where decommissioned money is taken for to be destroyed. Because, you know, that's a thing. And so it's obviously one of those places where if you get the money after it's decommissioned but before it's shredded, like that's free money. Like it's untraceable, and it's like you've got like hundreds of millions of dollars. And so there's like an inside man, and there's like a couple of like generic like stereotypical hackers and like two dozen like interchangeable like dudes with rifles. Like I honestly don't know how many there were because they were all like the same, like, and that was also delightful. So the disgraced treasury agent who now is like babysitting like, you know, old money, winds up having to go get the small engine repair guy because for whatever reason he's the only person who can repair the backup generator at the U.S. Mint facility, because, you know, that's what you do. Like, you have one guy who's able to do that. Before she leaves, she changes the code on the vault because she has a feeling.
And like you do.
And so she goes and gets the guy. While she's gone, they go, the crack team of mercenaries descends and like takes over the facility through wildly unlikely and convoluted scheming and circumstances. But then they find out, oh no, we can't get into the vault because the combination has been changed. That's inconvenient. And so you have the small engine guy kind of gets sucked into the group that's at the mint. And he's forced to repair the generator. Meanwhile, the meteorologist and the treasury agent are like careening around this tiny town while the greatest hurricane that has ever hurricaned is raging around them. Because right at the beginning, the meteorologist is like, oh, your instruments say it's only going to be a category 2, but you have no idea what this storm's going to be. And yeah, he's got this weird, like crazy storm chaser tank and that they drive around in. And and so they basically run around trying to not get captured by the thugs, but the thugs are like, we're gonna hurt somebody you care about unless you come in. And then they just keep making these deals and breaking them, and there are double crosses, and then you find out that other people are involved with this whole scheme. It's just ludicrous, Rich, and I had so much fun watching this movie.
Do we know any of the actors?
You know Toby Kebbell plays our intrepid meteorologist. He's best known for his motion capture work in stuff like the Planet of the Apes movies. He was King Kong in the latest Kong movie. Maggie Grace is the
from Lost.
Yeah, is the disgraced Treasury agent. And then there's a bunch of like folks that are vaguely familiar. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen you in something, I guess.
But that's good, I think, for a movie like this, because yeah, you get the big stars, you know they're not going to die early.
Right. And it's like in this movie, like, you literally don't know what's going to happen, because they're using winches to pull over cell towers, and you know, all of a sudden a dude gets a hubcap embedded in his chest, and the guys get their arms broken, and gunfire is everywhere, but nobody actually gets shot. This is just a little fun fact. This elite group of mercenaries, they decide they don't want to kill anyone when they go on. So like they've loaded their assault rifles with tranquilizer darts, which I'm pretty sure is not a thing, but they definitely did that. So there's that too. So, I mean, I guess they're all right in terms of, they're not evil.
Right.
Although they break bad towards the end when they start not getting what they want, because, well, I mean, you have to advance the plot somehow.
Sure.
And then there's a part at the end where they're basically, there's a chase where you're trying not to get sucked up in the eye of the storm. Like, you're in the eye of the storm and the wall of the storm is coming, and it's like, are you going to get away? I don't know. Probably.
So bad it's good.
Oh, so bad, so good.
Love it. The Hurricane Heist. Pass the popcorn. Alan Adams every Monday of the program, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where there's a film for everybody in the family. Well, yeah, with the show this week, can you give us like a 60-second, or I don't know, it could be 2 minutes, synopsis of Ugly Lies the Bone? We'll give away a pair of tickets to the opening weekend performances.
Oh yeah, no, that I would love to. It's basically the story of a young woman who comes back from her third tour of duty in the Middle East, having been injured by an improvised explosive device. She returns to her home in Titusville, Florida, on the Space Coast, where she is basically left to try and piece back together the her life. Like, she's trying to rebuild a life for herself with her older sister, the one who got away, her mom, and she has to deal with, among other people, her older sister's sort of disgusting boyfriend. That would be me.
Oh.
But ultimately it's a story of hope and wonder, and the idea that any obstacle can be overcome with enough determination. There are some wonderful technical elements that really need to be seen to be believed. Considering the subject matter, there are some surprisingly funny moments. Obviously there are some very touching moments, some heartwarming moments, some dramatic moments. It's one of the more challenging stories that I think Penobscot Theater has tried to tell in recent years, and it's one of the best scripts I've read in a long time. So, you know, you add all that together, and I think you'd be foolish not to go see it. So, if you have an opportunity to get out and check out Ugly Lies the Bone, you will not be disappointed.
And people know Chuck Carter. He was on the morning show with Don a whole lot, and he's involved with this too.
Yeah, Chuck Carter plays a pretty significant role in constructing the... There's a virtual reality component to this show. One of the deals is Jess, the main character who has returned from the Middle East, is using virtual reality as therapy to deal with both her pain and her post-traumatic stress disorder. And what Chuck has done is helped construct the world, along with Brave Williams from the New England School of Communications. They've teamed up to sort of construct the world, the virtual world that she enters, in order to deal with that therapy. And it's really, there are some just stunning moments to see. Chuck and Brave have done something that I don't think people in this area have ever really seen happen on stage before. So, and that's something, you know, these opportunities to see something truly new don't come along very often.
Well, we're going to give you an opportunity right now. We'll open the phone line, 942 942- 6200-942-6200. And caller number 5 will give you a pair of passes to see the opening weekend productions of Ugly Lies the Bone at Penobscot Theater Company. 942-6200-942-6200. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll see you soon.